Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your presence this morning, and we trust, Lord, that our sincerity will in some way match your great gravity as you have come, and also our joy in the knowledge of your presence, even as you have brought light out of darkness and life out of death, and brought joy out of sorrow, Lord, because this is a time when all things have come together under the seventh seal, time and eternity mixing, blending together, knowing that whatever has been in time ordained of you for us, even as we have been ordained and predestinated. So it's all coming together, and there's all one vast stream now where we know that you are in complete charge, whether anybody else knows it or not. We thank you for this truth that has been delivered us by your prophet William Branham, the Malachi 4, John the Baptist, actually, Lord, Elijah at this hour, and we thank you for that revelation of the knowledge we have, which we know to be true, and give to your seal the truth, Lord, even giving back to you what you've given us. May you have glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're here on number 27, I suppose, maybe 28, who knows. But in the seat of discrepancy, and Brother Branham, in taking Matthew 13 on the mystery of the wheat and tares, lays out clearly that the tares are serpent seed that came into existence by Eve and the serpent, and the wheat are the seed of God through Eve and Adam. And science has proven that to be correct, for it's now scientifically known that the human race, so-called, has one mother and two fathers, of which one father has sired over 99.9% of the people today on the face of the earth. And I would say that that figure holds good for all seven church ages and all time that is actually recorded. And it never was that great a discrepancy until previous to the flood, when the sons of God took unto themselves the daughters of men, and it developed into a purely lustful condition. And at that time, of course, we find the not the curse, but the penalty that man brought upon himself and woman brought upon herself in the earth here through the multiplication of seed. And remember, the multiplication of seed was not very many in the time when the sons of light were all together and the true sons and daughters of Adam were multiplying and forming a nation known as the sons of light, while the Cainites were multiplying and they were called the children of darkness. The children of light in contradistinction to the children of darkness. And if you follow the scripture carefully, you will find that's what I have been saying all along. The Bible's been saying, and Brother Branham said it, and now science has proved it. And if you take that literal one-tenth percent, you will find in there the all the wise and the foolish virgin. And Brother Branham at the end time narrowed it down to even less than that. I think he put it down 0.001%. Someone might look that up, take it out of your computer, but I think you'll find that correct, so that we have maybe at the end time, the foolish and wise combined would be roughly 55,000 out of 5.5 billion people, somewhere in that area. So we find, as Brother Branham says, science will confirm this message to be true. They have confirmed it according even to Brother Walker's vision, which Brother Branham corroborated and said was a true vision, where Walker saw this great Indian chief riding on a white horse, and he said, like a sonic boom took place, and he screamed, "I'll ride this trail once more." Whatever that means, don't ask me. That's somebody else's vision. Brother Branham did not interpret it whatsoever. He just left it there. He said scientists who were working busily with their science equipment, that whereby they determine various things and produce various things through scientific equipment, they looked up and they looked down again, they paid no heed. And so this message is proving that those very men will be condemned by the very things that they have produced, which show that this message is truly scientific, which means we know. And you'll notice that in the Scripture, that faith, knowledge is above faith. Faith is a mighty good instrument. Faith is a mighty fine thing. Faith, hope, and love, it's very, very fine. But the people have reduced love to more or less filial love, love of people, and loving each other. And it's very good, no problem with it whatsoever. But it is not the true agape love, which Brother Branham and many people have termed as love of God, which is not true. It should be, but it's not. Because even Brother Branham corrected himself in that particular instance when he said, you can make God a piano. Well, you could make God a violin. You could make your wife a goddess. You could make your farm a god. You could, well, hey, you could make anything a god. Which simply means you've concentrated and put the greatest love you have in that direction and upon that one thing. You see? And these people that are great at playing the piano and the violin, they insure their hands for $1 million. Why, if I was a Paganini, I'd insure my hands for $5 million and hope in my old age something might whack them a bit. Pick up the $5 million. Not saying that, you know, that's what I mean. That's the whole thing there. Like the love of money is the root of all evil. The god of this age, the intrinsic desires of men's heart, which they put their whole lives upon and everything upon, is that they've equated everything to a dollar bill. And so the doctors today that are very good doctors even, you'll find them, you go, and you can't get real satisfaction. Because the buck is everything. And it's everything is equated to a dollar bill or some type of denomination in there. Now, in paragraph page 65, Brother Branham calls the serpent seed children of disobedience. Now, the word disobedience or disobedient is worthy to take note of. So, but before we go to the root words in the Greek, notice it says children of disobedience. So, therefore, disobedience now becomes apparent. And a parent can only be a person. And it would have to be a father, without a doubt, because only fathers can sire children. And that goes for every type of life upon the earth, except where you get down to the very lowest forms, which we're not even interested in. They have their place, like microbes and those playthings have their, their root value in. And even talking about microbes, they're very important. And for years I have known that... according to a certain person that is very knowledgeable, and not just one person, but many, many people will tell you that the actual good microbes in the earth have been destroyed by environmental pesticides, and also not by pesticides, but by the herbicides, with particularly along with the pesticides, and also within organic fertilizers. And the sun has a very beneficial effect upon the earth when those microbes are there. But you begin to remove what is there that God placed there, and you'll find that the sun's rays are not valuable. And so you're not getting, as Brother Branham said, anything out of the earth. The earth is so badly damaged, and God says, I'll destroy those that destroy the earth, which he's going to very quickly. And remember, if God said, I will destroy those that destroy the earth, there must be people there that destroy the earth, and God will destroy them. You see, there you see your left hand, right hand of God, you see your predestinating power. And that you've got to take that in consideration. But anyway, you can do certain things to bring those microbes back. And when you bring the microbes back, the first thing you'll see appear in the earth is earthworms. Now, that's like a person making a pond out here somewhere, and a strange fish begins to appear. Where did those fish come from? No, not by evolution. But they came some way. They come maybe by water spouts, little whirlwinds picking up these eggs and things and transporting them there various ways. Now, not every time you're going to find that. You won't find that. But earthworms, it is actually a different story. And when you find that those bacteria are allowed to come back in the soil or they're deliberately placed there, you will find the earthworms begin to appear. Now, those bacteria that have been destroyed are really a part of our bodies. Now, you can begin to wonder why it is then without the good bacteria which should be upon the vegetables and things that we eat, we're just going downhill more and more and more and more and more and more. And if those good bacteria were brought back, the body would begin to respond. And you wouldn't have the doctors using knives and poisons and everything else on you. So we have a very great problem here at the end time. And all of this has been brought upon us by the seed of discrepancy. Like, there's where the scientists came from. There's where the knowledgeable people came from. Brother Branham brings it up very conclusively. And he doesn't have to even bring it out. Anybody with a modicum of sense can read the Bible and find it for themselves. But we have been too busy ignoring the simple things in the Word and trying to get these wonderful things like Brother Branham. They said, Brother Branham, why do you run down our women? Why don't you just teach them spiritual things? He said, how can they teach them spiritual things? They haven't even got their ABCs. Yeah, actually, it's absolutely crazy what they are, ABC. So, we're looking at the word disobedience, and Brother Branham calls them the children of disobedience on page 12, paragraph 65, which we'll read today. Disobedience is therefore a person, and at the same time a description, as well as to manifestation. And so that's what you're looking at. All right, now, in the thought then of disobedience, we go to 1 Thessalonians, I guess I got written down, if I can read my own handwriting. And if I can't, well, we'll jump someplace else. I'm not too alarmed. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are the children of light, and even the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Now, you'll notice in there what I'm drawing you a parallel, not in the word disobedience, but I'm drawing you the parallel on the word light. You are the children of light. Now, therefore, you will find that God is light, and in him is no darkness. And so, therefore, you are all light. You are children of the light, which means you are children of God. And remember, God is obedient to his own word. God himself is circumscribed, and God is bound by his own word. The scripture says so. And he stands behind his word to perform it. And you'll find that many people say there's one thing that God cannot do, and God cannot lie. Well, that is very true. God cannot lie. In plain English, God cannot do anything but stand behind his word. And therefore, if you get outside of that word, you're not with God, period. And if you are with God in the word, then it is not a question of morals. It is a question of what you are from your source. I hope you know what I'm talking about. You'll understand I'm talking about David. David fully understands, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. But he did it. But he's fully identified with God. Oh, that'll make some people scream. Say, well, I'll go out and do anything I want. That proves what you are. Nothing but a Baptist with a wrong understanding of eternal security. Oh, I can do what I want. Do what I want. Sure, you can do what you want. Nobody's going to stop you. But you'll pay. You'll find out you're not a God in the first place. The second place, you'll burn. The third place, you'll be required of everything you did. That's when you find, like this guy Watts, he was under Reagan's regime, and he's put there as Secretary of the Interior, whatever it is, that takes care of all of our lands and things. And what did he do? He sold out the nation to the rich people. And under Bush, the same thing. And don't think that Clinton hasn't done the same thing. They're selling out right now. I don't care what government you get in, the scripture must be fulfilled. Those guys got to be there to do it. That's why you and I should lift up our heads and rejoice. The muckier, murkier, rotten it gets, your redemption draweth nigh. In fact, our redemption didn't only draw nigh, our redemption is here. In fact, I was just about ready to break out in song this morning, and I don't have a voice. Jehovah is here. Because Jesus of the new is Jehovah of the old, and we're talking about the immortal Jehovah Elohim, who took upon himself a veil of flesh, then left the flesh, which is his only begotten Son, now clothed in flesh, at the right hand of the Father on majesty on high, actually on the Father's throne, and that's the one that Brother Branham said turned back to a pillar of fire. That was that Christ that followed them. That rock. That the Jesus only bunch they haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. They're not going to listen. Man phoned me one time, talked for an hour and a half. He couldn't see it. Right back with it. I may phone him again and say, sir, I want you to come and sit down with me because I love you. I don't think it's going to do any good. You don't leave the Pentecostal hogwash. You love dining on vomit? Be my guest. I couldn't stop him if I tried, but who knows. All right. Not only so, but we go to 1 John 1 and 7. Now we see the very same thing there that we are talking about. Light and obedience. Darkness, disobedience. Notice in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, just a minute. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, right away you can say, well, that's the way Jesus was on earth. You're wrong entirely. He's talking about God. Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. That's what I like to call him. Because that's what you find in the book of Isaiah in many places. Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. If we walk in the light as Elohim is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Elohim's Son. Not Elohim God. See, when you go off the word, you come to the place where you can't even read, you can't reason, you're in total darkness. Why do they keep reading? There's one mediator between God and man, the God Christ Jesus. It's the man Christ Jesus. And if he's not a man, we don't have any hope. Kinsman Redeemer. We're not his kin, kith and kin. We're never going to make it because he only stands for his own. He came unto his own. That was according to the flesh brought down by him. His own received him not. And many did receive him. He recognized as sons. But only true sons, by strict lineage, by the life of God himself, can recognize that which is of God. We're talking about bride now. The foolish virgin recognizes too late. When they do see it, they say, that's it. We accept that. So you can see disobedience and light and darkness are all the same thing. Now, with that, we jump back to Hebrews, the second chapter. And we'll eventually get to reading Brother Branham, don't worry. But he's the one that said children disobedience, so we got to follow it down. Right? All right. Hebrews 2 and 13. Saying, I will declare thy name in the midst, thy name unto my brethren. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And now you know very well what we are talking about there. We're talking about the fact that Jesus has these many brethren. Now also, in 1 John 3 and 10, we read this many, many times. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. And in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now it tells you right there the very thing that Jesus said. That the wheat are the children of God, and the tares are the children of the devil. And it says that. Now it tells you to think, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So we have the very truth here. There are the children of God, the children of the devil, the children of obedience, the children of disobedience, the children of light, the children of darkness. And it all means one thing. It means those words are describing the source. One source is God. One source is the devil. God is called light. God is called obedience. The other is called darkness. The other is called disobedience. Now, so there you have it, very, very plainly before your face. Now, the word disbelieving or disobedience means disbelieving, obstinate, rebellious actually portrays one as apart, A-P-R-A-T, or separated from the truth when confronted with it. He is in a state of denial and rejection that leads to attempting to destroy the truth. This is not merely someone rejecting a philosophy, but evidently one who has put aside or denied vindicated truth. Okay. That is, it must be, that vindicated truth has been rejected is what is evident, for there is no reason for a person to believe what someone purports to be a life and death matter unless it is proven by vindication to be so. Prove it. That's the first thing Moses said. They're not going to believe it. I've got to prove it to them. Now, it's a life and death situation at the time of Moses, because those that were not under the blood died. There was a life and death situation under Jesus. And Paul portrayed it. And now at the end time, it is the third Exodus. And it's a life and death problem. She that liveth in pleasure is dead already. Judgment has set in. The people don't even know they've been judged. Even the bride cannot come to the place of attunement to the word of God vindicated, that she is the perfect, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sin in her, and she didn't even do it in the first place. Tricked into it. The same as Eve. Certainly Eve was of lower stature than Adam. Are we not lower stature than Jesus Christ? But did not Adam keep her from dying when he then took her back? And has not Jesus kept us from dying by taking us back? Was she not the same life step down that was in Adam? In other words, the same life but in a different figure? And are we not of the same life also in a different figure? In other words, we were born through sex, and so we should have been. But it ought to turn. And Christ was not, but is it not the same life? And is his life not the same life of God? And is not Adam's life the same life of God? Begin to understand these things. You can't be back there in Pentecost and legalism or in hyper-Calvinism and make it work today. It can't work. See, this is what's wrong with us. We're not talking the word. We just think we talk the word. Do your husband tell your wives what I'm saying today? Do your wives talk to your husband? Do you talk to your children? Do your children talk to you? Oh, we talk. Blabber, 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 blabber. But the truth is not blabber, blabber, blabber. It is life. It is life. It is obedience. Providing us the vindicated word. What did the Mormons say to Joe Smith? Give us some vindication. Luther didn't have vindication. Except the Spirit of God backed up that word. And it lived as much as it could live when they died. Wesley never had it. William Branham alone had it. And now there's going to be a people here, according to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And never yet come into existence what we shall be. We know he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, you've got to see him as he is in order to become like him. Have we understood exactly who he is and what it is all about? If you haven't, you haven't seen him, even in this appearing. Then where is the change going to come for it? Now we're getting down to nitty-gritty. I'm not talking Lee Dale. I'm talking William Branham, vindicated prophet of God and the Word of God. And I never saw 1 John 3 and 1 until I began to follow this message. When Brother Branham went off the scene and I found myself wholly turned to the word that he left us, absolutely, then it came to me. As I preached in Marion, Indiana. The appearing. He's here. There's his picture. Do people really understand? A certain preacher one day come in here and he saw the pictures and he was stunned. I'm not ashamed of these pictures. Scientific. Now we've got science proving two mothers, one father. I beg your pardon, one mother, two fathers. Science proving your brother Branham said God made your great 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 grandfather and great 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 grandmother to get you. Now they tell you your entire character and disposition lies in your genes. Oh, people hate my guts, but they love their own guts. They go, oh, yes, my great-great-grandmother, great-great-grandfather. They brought me. Look how sweet and nice I am. Well, I can't help my great-great-grandmother, great-great-grandfather, and I'm finally here, and I'm sour as a... as a lemon. You know, I'm bombastic, as it were. Oh, they can't take the word. They can't even take a ministry like mine that slashes and cuts and reveals a cadaver under the human glow of self-promoted religiosity and righteousness. Can't take it. If I ever tell you I'm sweet and nice and kind and somebody listen, I've told you honestly before God, if you are less honest than I am, you are a crook. If you're less truthful, you are a liar. You can't cut it any finer than that. If you can tell me how I can cut it finer. Never said anything about myself, anything good in me. But I can tell you one thing. I know this word is true. Vindicated. So therefore, it's a vindicated word. Before you can possibly use this term, children of disobedience. And at this time, Peter said they will actually deny him who is the truth and the way and the life. And they will deny the word. We go to Ephesians, the second chapter. And we look at the second verse. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You were caught up in their ways because it is their world. And so as a little eagle you were content. I mean you were discontented. But you had no choice in the chicken run but to pick in the horse manure and the cow manure. Until the mother eagle screamed. Then you flew out of the chicken run. Ephesians 5 and 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What does it mean, vain words? They're words that don't have any power behind them. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. Prove it. Bless God, I'm really born again. Prove it. I'm so-and-so. Prove it. This is going to happen. Prove it. Look how they've been studying Nostradamus ever since Brother Branham came on the scene and passed off the scene, especially since he passed off. And they try to judge what he said to be true by history, and they incorporate anything they want to suck you into by their stupid books. I saw the stupid film, and I'm not interested in their stupid books. God, a vindicated prophet, with thus saith the Lord. He said at one time, you had to be the chicken in the chicken run, because that's what you thought you were. Let's go over it again. Let no man deceive with vain words, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventism, Jehovah Witness. Even Wesley had a plethora of wrong doctrine He didn't have it all right. He only knew that hyper-Calvinism was wrong. So he did everything to break it down, and the pendulum had to swing back. But Methodism finally gave way to what it really was. Prohibition. Anti-gambling. Maybe you're like, they're like the old girl that was a Methodist in my town. And she was the greatest prohibitionist, and she was the first member of Parliament, an MLA, Mrs. Louise McKinney. And as she lay dying, they brought out her booze to pick her up. Now, if I was a real Methodist and so concerned, I wouldn't drink booze if I was dying. Like, you think I'm going to run to some of these Pentecostal guys like Benny Hinn if I've got cancer? I might have cancer. They're all trying to tell me I got cancer of the prostate because my PSA is up to 19. And I laugh and I say, forget it, I don't have cancer. And I don't have cancer. Think I'm going to run to somebody if I had cancer and be prayed for? If you guys can't pray for me, forget it. I want to get prayed for. The same goes for my wife. You think she'd run to somebody? You think our sweet little friend Bernice Merrick up there in Buffalo, they said to her, run to so-and-so. She said, I'll die with my cancer before I run anywhere because Brother Branham says, stay away from that stuff. Oh, you say, my goodness, that's not Bible. You are wrong. It is the Bible. Amen. Stay away from that stuff. Who needs it? Who needs it? You think the market's going to survive at 6,000 if it goes to 10,000 when it busts, everything is gone like a splattered egg, Humpty Dumpty again. Scrambled egg. Put it together. You've got the guts to stand by. If the squeeze comes down, who knows? Children are late. Okay. Let's go to Colossians. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter and verse 6. And it tells us there, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. What does it say? Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, covetousness, which is idolatry, the love of money, the root of all evil. Huh? The intrinsicality of man's soul, thinking a dollar bill equates everything, and you buy your way into heaven out of hell and everything else. Huh? Come on, think it over. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in that which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now, with the rebirth, you put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication, out of mouth, lie not one another, seeing you put off the old man with these deeds, and put on the new man which is renewed. What about the new man? Now watch. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge. You come back by knowing. And knowing is a million times greater than faith, because faith can be misplaced, but knowledge cannot be misplaced, because knowledge is knowing. Knowing. Knowing through a prophet vindicated. Oh, we could get the guys with the black suits and the square hats come in here. They sit for 10 minutes and walk out. They can't take it. Because we know we invented God. Some of you got ancestors that had the black hats and the black suits, maybe. Yeah. Where are they? Where are they going? Everyone dead. Brother Branham said, everyone dead. Oh, and the Pentecostals rose up and said, that hypocrite that judged people, God judged him and smeared him across the road. And I said, he fed him to the lions. And their bodies were dung in the arena. Oh, they've got a nice little God all figured out. Did you read Reader's Digest where one person is quoting John Chandler, Chancellor? And Chancellor says, I don't know who said it, but he said the truth. He said, tell God. He said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him you've got plans. If you want to make God laugh, tell him who you are and what you are. The righteous judge who has judged us, we better say what he said. Okay. We go to Hebrews now. Nobody denies that when you're born after the flesh, the way we're born, we're come in the world speaking lies and can't wait to do mischief. But you'll find them telling them, oh my, I was always a good boy. Well, I was a good boy too till I found out how I could do mischief. Like the one guy said, he said, originally I began stealing cigarette papers. Afterward, I got strong enough to carry something heavier. Guy told the truth. Oh, people don't like hearing things like that. They go, oh, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Yeah, you're wonderful. All right. Listen to the scripture. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Huh? Who is the Lord? The vindicated Son of God. The vindicated prophet. Because he was a prophet. People always want to make him something different, a second person of the Trinity. He's a man. He's a prophet. And if he isn't, then the scripture is wrong or he fooled us. Because that's what he was. The Jews are finally smartening up and they said, yes, we shouldn't have crucified him because he was a prophet. They couldn't help it because in Jerusalem the prophets were crucified under the Israelites. Outside of there, they could be prophets under the Gentile regime or era. They could be crucified anywhere. Didn't matter what happened. But they finally admit it. Now it says, first began spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Confirmed how? They knew he was vindicated. Like Nicodemus said, we know you got to be a teacher sent from God. Or how can man do these things that couldn't be done? Only God can do them. Now watch, God also bearing them witness. Now watch, the witness to the witness allowed them to have gifts in their midst. Mark 16. We're allowed the same privileges. See? With signs and wonders, divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, according to his will, the church was put in order, and the Pentecostals and the world would not take it. So the church today is out of order. And the main order is the word of Almighty God. Because there can't be a church of born again without the word. Because you're born of incorruptible word. That lives and abides forever. That's what Peter says. So we have to take the word of God. Okay. Now notice. In the first verse of chapter 2. Which follows chapter 1, which shouldn't even be a chapter as far as I'm concerned, doesn't matter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, what's the more earnest heed? The more earnest heed is that Jesus is the literal Son of Almighty God. He is the outraying of the substance of God. And as Brother Branham said, when the questions asked, what is the difference between Jesus and God? He said, there is no difference except sons have beginnings. Then do you understand that? Then can you take it? Can you say it? Can you believe it? Can you stand with it and watch what develops? No, they can't do it outside of idiots like us, who fortunately can read. When they hand us the book, we don't say, I can't read. I don't understand. I can tell you I can read, and I do understand the word of this hour. I don't care what Luther had and what Wesley had. Fine, fine, fine. And I don't care what the Jews are going to have. Fine, fine, fine. I'm only concerned with what I've got. This is what was being attested to. Let me read it here. God, who at sundry times, in many parts and many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, not by, but in them. God in the prophets. God to the people. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. In the Son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the ages. Not the worlds really, ages. So the seven church ages have to do with this, what we're talking about. Who being the effulgence, that's the outrain of his glory, and the expression, express image, he's not the real thing now. He's the outraying of his substance, the express image, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. So it tells you exactly what was done and how it was done. The same one that created all the worlds by God being in him and through him. Same thing is done now for our salvation. Being made so much better than the angels, yet he hath obtained an inheritance, hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, the angels don't have an inheritance except what God allows them to have, because they're not his sons. Jesus is the only son. Angels aren't sons. For unto which of the angels, or messengers, whichever you want to say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I've started my generations in you. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you these people that say the sons of God came down and had the daughters of men in a physical union, and brought forth giants, which are half spirit and half... Oh, come on. They can't have generations. They can't. Only Jesus has generations. My Bible proves it. He shall see his seed. He didn't have physical generations. He came to redeem all those that the Father gave him that were put in Adam, and all came down through the flesh and all died. To raise them from the dust. See, look, they cannot read the Bible because they do not follow the prophet who is vindicated. They said, oh, these angels pressed themselves into human form and had a physical contact with women and brought forth the Nephilim, or what do they call them, which were giants. Hogwash. The giants came through Cain. And those rascals married up with the daughters, the children of God, and the sons of God began marrying up with the beautiful women. The thing was a shemazel. Thou art my son, this day have I started my generations in thee, and again I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's telling you right there, he's starting how it's done. I'm a father, he's my son, all the generations are in him, which he put in Adam and Eve. Now, there it's set up. And he's got to come by flesh the same as you and I came. One of the mysteries of antiquity. And again, when he bringeth forth the firstborn into the world, he saith that all the angels of God worship him. He brings them forth in the world by the Virgin Mary. And the angel said, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou lovest righteousness, and he maketh therefore God, even thy God. Now people say, can you worship Jesus? Certainly you can worship him. And in that sense, he's God. Blessed be the God and Father of our God. Sub. That confused you, puzzled you? I don't see any reason to be confused or puzzled. Tells you right there, Brother Branham defined it. God is an object of worship. So that's it. Then if he can be worshipped, read the book of Revelation, he's legitimately worshipped. Then he's God in that particular sense. But he's not God in the sublime and ultimate. This is a conferred thing upon him for what he did. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say here? God conferred upon him that ability to be worshipped. He doesn't give it to you and me. Now, Jesus could not accept worship when they tried to give him. He said, worship God. That's a different thing now. He's been elevated. Read the book of Revelation. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as a garment. As a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And to which the angel said, he at any time sit in my right hand, and I make thine enemies my footstool. Are not all these ministering spirits, and sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now therefore, he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed and understand that this is the Son of God, period. And don't you play light and easy and fast with him. That's what Paul is saying right here. So therefore, if you do not have a true understanding and concept of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never understand what goes on in the next chapters. Can't do it. Never understand Melchizedek, never understand the blood, won't understand the Word, won't understand the Holy Spirit. What he does for you, God in the form of the Holy Spirit, giving you a modicum of his life upon your life to bring you right up, to give you the strength. You are a son of God, but you're born in weakness, shaped in sin, conceived in iniquity, absolutely. And the Spirit of God comes down upon you as like a double portion, what's it for? To give you strength. Everything comes from the mind, whether you believe it or not. Those motions that you make without thinking, you put your hand upon a hot stove, what happens? The nerves must tell your brain, it's too hot, pull it away. If you haven't got some sensitivity down there, your hand could sit on the stove and you could burn that hand right up. That's why they say pain is a good thing. Pain gets you realizing there's something wrong in your body. Yep. Your reactions and reactions. That which comes from a premeditated action is no different than that which comes from an unpremeditated action. It's got to go zip to the brain, zip back again. Finger, oh, I'm hot. Get the hand off the stove. How quick you pinprick it. Speed of thought. But you got to think. There we're looking at it. See? Now, this understanding then of child of disobedience is one that actually comes to the proven light. It comes across wherein God has manifested himself, and especially in a vindicated way, as we see in the scripture here, especially in our day. This differs from Romans 5 and 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And also, we might as well go a little further and get some more scripture here. And we go into 2 Corinthians 10 and 6. Now, these things are our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Oh, that's the 1 Corinthians. Oh, I haven't got the right one. I'm going to get myself adjusted here. Although that's a good verse, but it fits in real good. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And Hebrews 2 and 2, which I've already read to you back here. And it says, for if the word of God for the word spoke of angels steadfast, and every transgress and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now this means here to neglect to hear, to not take seriously unto acceptance, unto obedience of light. Sounds like the foolish virgin, doesn't it? That's what it is, without a doubt, in my books. To me, the one spells out rejection, the other does not reject and deny, but neglects to hear, in the sense that it is not taken seriously, even perhaps lightly, and even like David figures, he can get away with it because of who he is. David never said, hey, I'm changing the Ten Commandments. It's okay to to lust after my neighbor's wife. I covet her. Oh, that's okay. I'm changing that one. I'm a prophet myself. And better still, I'm a king prophet. He never said it. No. He never said, thou shalt not commit adultery is all wrong. I can commit adultery anytime I want. Never said that. He never said, I'm the king. I can take away the word that says thou shalt not kill. Or just bump him off. He never said it. He neglected. Now let's talk about this hour, neglecting the word the prophet gave us. Huh? How many TVs we got going? How many shows we going to? That's just surface crud. There's a spirit attached to it. There's a spirit gets in everything that you allow your mind to suck in and retain. It's just like smoking, it becomes a spirit. It's like alcohol, it becomes a spirit. It's like today now, you've got these perverts that have to join some kind of an institution and they call them oversexed. It's a spirit on them. Homosexuality is a spirit. Everything is a mess today. Now, the one spells out rejection, the other does not reject and deny, but neglects to hear in the sense that it is not taken seriously, perhaps even lightly. Perhaps they've got something built up within them. They neglect to hear the elders, as Paul said. Go to the man personally if he's got wrong. If he doesn't listen, take a witness or two. If he doesn't listen, then bring him before the elders. If he neglects to hear the elders, in other words, he knows that he should listen, he ain't going to listen because he's got his dander up, he walks off. Don't worry, God will whip him around. Maybe you have to clean him up and take away his light. Let's go to 1 Timothy and see a little bit of this. And the 4th chapter. And verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Don't neglect the things that God has given you. And Irenaeus said there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, which we already read back there in the 3rd verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at first began spoken by the Lord? In other words, he's telling you here, if you neglect it, you can come to the place even of utter opposition, which you could, and you can neglect it until it just evades you from this point on, and it doesn't really mean anything to you. Foolish virgins, I believe, have a whole lot of, well, they've got to have that in them, where the true bride would not have it. She'd have to come back to the Word. Also, we read in Romans, the 5th chapter, concerning Adam, the 19th verse, and by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. What did Adam do? He neglected the word. What did Eve do? She neglected the word. She didn't argue and say it wasn't so. She allowed the one word to come in there. She neglected. She walked carelessly. The Bible speaks of careless people. These are careless people. Now, and you place that with Romans 5, 12 to 21, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. And right on down the line, you'll find what his carelessness did. He never rejected it. He didn't take us seriously. And today we've got the same problem. We are not taking things as seriously as we should. And yet we know that Adam, according to Luke 3 and 38, was absolutely a son of God. So, all right. Let's notice how Paul used the word relative to himself in Acts 26. And in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, I couldn't take this vision lightly. Moses couldn't take it lightly. William Branham couldn't take it lightly. And anybody that's really born again cannot take this word lightly. You will believe it with all your heart, and at baby times, you and I will feel we're not living up to it, which God knows we may never live up to it as we ought to. But we'll be 100% with it. Child of Almighty God. Now, verse 19 is preceded by verses 13 to 18. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, I am Jehovah, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Notice, I have appeared unto thee. I have appeared. I have actually shown myself in a blinding light that blinded the people that fell to the ground. And I blinded you, Paul. I have now shown myself that you are like Moses. I have appeared, even apparently. Remember, if a man is a prophet, I, the Lord, will speak him in visions and dreams. But my servant Moses is not so. I'll speak him even apparently, face to face. I'll speak to him with a visible sign that he can see. William Branham was with Moses and with Paul. You understand now why he said that, what I've been telling you all these years? Moses, Paul, William Branham. To make thee a minister. If you're a minister, then you got a ministry, right? Amen. To give you the ministry of declaring, I have faced you like I faced Moses. And in the Exodus, when the fire came down and licked up the sacrifice, even when the fire came up and destroyed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, God was right there manifesting. To make thee a minister, to give you a minister that's a witness of these things that you've seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. I'll keep talking to you face to face like Moses and now William Branham. We're living in present history of the Bible. Of the Lord God of Genesis 1 to the Lord God of Revelation chapter 22. Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. He's talking about the sheep. Many sheep I have which are not of this fold. They also must come. The Big Dipper is the Gentile fold. The Little Dipper is the Israelic fold. And remember, the handle of the Big Dipper, the tail end star, always points to the North Star, signifying Christ. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. The faith that is in me, I ponder that and I realize that I do not live by my own faith. I do not have a right to come to God and say, Lord, I've got this faith and I've got faith. I stand and say, Lord, I have faith in your Son, my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your covenant with him and his faith in it, I stand by that. I do not even dare to stand by the faith that's in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I do not dare to stand by that faith that I came to you by. But I stand by His because He's the one with the covenant. I'm not. I'm the recipient. I believe when we see that with all our hearts and our minds, we'll see miracles among us as you sit there. No need to worry about gifts. You'll be living, walking, word manifested. Oh, we've got a ways to go, but we're going there. Wherefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Agrippa, you want me to just look and say, well, Paul, you know, those things happen. The aberrations, they happen. Yeah, you're an aberrant. You're Paul, you're mad. Paul, much learning has made you mad. You studied these things in philosophy. You've been a Hebrew all these years in the Sanhedrin. You sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You got a brain on you, Paul, but you burned out. You're goofy. He said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. So that's why William Branham and you and I are not like him. Mm-mm. Yeah, never will be. But one day we'll be like him. In the resurrection. To immortality. Now these words are rooted in Galatians 1:6-12. You know them by heart already. And Galatians 1:6-12 is rooted in Romans 15:15-21, which is all a matter of predestination, God Himself doing it, and vindicating Paul that it is so. It's also seen in 1 Corinthians 2:1-8, which is further vindication. And you can read these for yourself. I've read them dozens and dozens of times. We don't need to go into them. Thus, Brother Branham, on page 12, paragraph 65, points out that all seed of disobedience, all tares are seed of discrepancy, are the children of Satan, according to what we read in 1 John 3:10. The rebellious one. Satan, the rebellious, has rebellious children. Christ, the obedient one, has obedient children. We don't come to full obedience until the perfect adoption, which takes place finally, and it is a great sweeping event in the resurrection. I'm quoting Brother Branham, adding a couple words of my own. Now, these children of Satan, 1 John 3:10, the children of Satan, the rebellious one, from the beginning, who through the serpent became the father of Cain by his cohabiting with Eve, the neglectful one. All it takes to invite Satan to turn you and me to really be foolish, like David was, is to be neglecting. And Brother Branham said that starts in the small things, the carelessness. Turning from the Word when we should turn right to the Word for answers. And I've said and I'll say again, I don't believe we're anywhere near immortalization by God until anything that comes out in the Scripture, we immediately focus on what Brother Branham said, knowing what he said. And I say you cannot know that without the doctrine and that which refers to it. So it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until we, you and I, can vanquish every thought. They all fall flat and disappear in the light of that Word with which we take our stand. Had David turned his mind to the Word, he would have realized, I don't have to covet her. If God wants me to have her, and I would like to have her, some way her husband will die because she is a little Israelite and he is a Hittite. Although he's been converted, his blood isn't the same. And when Nathan came to David, he said, David, he told him a story about the man that had the one little ewe lamb in his bosom. A big shot came by him. Instead of killing all of his, he had hundreds of sheep. He took the little lamb and killed it. David said, the man shall die. Oh, he was alive to the other guy's sins, wasn't he? But he thought he had his own covered. David said, thou art the man. David said, I've sinned. You can be caught away. I can be caught away so easily. Nathan said to David, God speaking to Nathan, he said, when have I ever withheld anything from you? Now we're talking about a woman that he coveted that belonged to another man and killed the man. Got her pregnant. You realize what I'm trying to tell you? He said, David, why didn't you come to me? You could have had her, or if I didn't want you to have her, you could have had someone 10 times more luscious if you're just giving away to the flesh. Why don't you ask me? And I can bring that back to my own life. When I was moping before God, I didn't have a car. And I was grouching. He wanted me to go on the road because Brother Branham said, you better go on the road because that's where you belong. And I was grouching. And I said, God, I don't have a car. He said, who said you couldn't have one? I knew right away I was going to have a car. Now, like an idiot, I didn't say, Lord, what car would you like me to have? I always blow out. I'm 81 now, and I don't think I'll ever learn. Be honest with you, I'll go to the grave blowing out. Maybe one little time I'll be able to say, Lord, what do you want me to have? What's pleasing to you? So I got me an old chug-a-lug Buick. My God, it had a Dynaflow, as I said, was dying to flow, but never did. See? So, all right. Say to the rebellious one, the serpent, that's the rebellious one who, from the beginning, manifested himself through Cain by cohabiting with Eve, the neglectful one, and through that act of negation of the true interpretation of the word, that's what happened. Neglected the true interpretation, which was simply as God said it. Don't put anything to it, take from it. That, and now watch, that is how sin enters into the church. Romans 5. Read again. Wherefore, in verse 12, as by one man sin entered the world. Wherefore? Now, this wherefore is preceded by a lot of verses which I won't read. But remember, this is telling you, from what I've said previously, Paul said, this is what happens. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, that is all of sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is the figure of him that was to come. Now that transgression is in 1 Timothy 2:11, 15. I won't read it. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God, the gift by grace is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. For if one man's offense death reigned by one, much more which they receive abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Therefore, as the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation. And remember, then it says in 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's carelessness, by Eve's carelessness. Remember, Adam and Eve in the sight of God were one. Even when they were separated, he called their name Adam. It was Adam that called her name Eve. See? Sons of God, carelessness. Carelessness. That's how sin entered the early church, and that's where your foolish virgins came from and proved their foolish virgins. They neglect this word. Didn't turn it down. No. They neglect it. Brother Branham chided us for our lack of sobriety, our seriousness, and I always admired him for his sobriety and his seriousness. See, the virgin church that neglects the truth and does not stress vindication, Satan jumps in. According to 2 Corinthians 11:2-3, and seduces her mind. Does not say this is not the word of God. Does not say that this is not the truth, but neglects it. does not bring herself under subjection to it, thinks it can be bypassed. Oh, I admit it's true. Yeah, it's true. Like Brother Branham talked about that Exodus. Oh, yeah. Rabbi says, yeah, I believe it's true, but he didn't get under the blood. The girl that wanted to get her friend out from under the blood, she said, I believe it's true, but we should go dancing tonight or something. And he tells about the girl that went dancing. She thought she could step into the place where she used to be under the spirit of the whoredoms of this world. And she stepped in. The first thing, she was in a man's arm dancing. The next thing, she was screaming for Brother Branham to come and deliver her. Yeah, neglect. 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 Disobedience that's willful against the word? No, but neglect. The bride in this hour must not neglect the word. There's where the foolish virgins are truly manifested, as far as I can understand this. You see, they become organized. They turn to united creeds and dogmas. Come forth from them, because they're now a mixed group with wheat in the minority. You'll always have greater numbers of the foolish virgin than the wise. Then you'll have multiplied numbers and those that turn it down flat, because that's what they want to do. You see, Jude 23-25. That's the last little book before the book of Revelation there, you know. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you about the common salvation, need for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Try to stay with it. Don't let anything come in there. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They came in to trick you. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God to lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Trinitarians, God knows what. I will therefore put your members, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He said, I'm putting you in mind because they got careless. They neglected. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. They got careless. They listened to Satan. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, homosexuality, and going after strange flesh, homosexuality, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Notice, where their carelessness led, it led to a complete incubation of the devil's lie, and they turned to the homosexuality, bestiality, and those things that are mentioned. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. And Michael the archangel, and continue. Now Michael's not a fallen angel. He's the good angel. He stayed up there. He wouldn't get careless. He stayed right with the God. And contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against the railing accusations, said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't try to fight the battle. He said, the Lord take care of him, standing with the word. When you stand with the word, God's on your side. You got to get on God's side by the word before he stands you. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts. And those things they corrupt themselves, warn to them, they've gone the way of Cain. What is Cain? A brute beast. What's he supposed to be? He's a brute beast. Why? He didn't have any life in her egg. This is beast life that she had. She bore a beast. What are you going to expect them? Law of the jungle. Warned to them, they've gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. What are you going to expect to him? Money, 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 the love of money. And perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Oh, we've got gifts. Hallelujah. We're as good as Moses. We're as good as William Branham. In fact, William Branham is just the very thing God wants us to be. Everybody, William Branham. These are spots in your feasts of love, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about of winds, any old voice, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That's Malachi 4. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Man, this guy's a poet.
Of course, God made him the poet. Wandering star to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. You find me a Shelley or a Tennyson or a Longfellow. Or you give me a Shakespeare. Never spoke like this. This man is a master of language. When language loses its integrity, there's nothing left. Integrity means truth and wholeness and soundness. And Enoch the seventh prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among all that are ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Look at the beautiful language. And of all the hard speech of the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Against God and against his prophet Enoch. Yeah, we don't like William Branham, then they don't like God. Oh, but we do. Oh, but you don't. You're liars. Brother Branham said, hey, he said, you got the Holy Ghost and can't say amen to every word of God. Something wrong with you. No Holy Ghost there. Come on, come on, come on, come on. All their hearts, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words or things, having men's person and admiration because of advantage. Oh, I could name some names right there. But behold, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. They be these who separate themselves, children of disobedience. Huh? Was I naming it right? Huh? Certainly I was. Get the tape when I'm through preaching it. Don't be bashful. Step right up. These are they who separate themselves. They're already separated and never were apart. They never could take the word because they weren't a part of the word. Sensual, natural, fleshly, having not the Spirit. And what did Paul say? Except you have the Spirit of Christ, you're reprobate. The world wants to tell us we're all reprobates, and somehow we come to God and become seed hogwash. I never was a reprobate. Never was and never will be. Always hungered for the word of truth and the word of God. Anybody kidding you with their nonsense? But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. What's the most holy faith? It's knowledge. Knowledge. Reality, vindication, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Now listen, in other words, there's a lot of weak people out there. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, maybe sometimes we'd like to do a little some of these kooky things that they're doing. Well, I could get healed if I ran to this meeting and he pops me on the head, doesn't even touch me, and I fall to kaboom. You got a wrong spirit on. You want a wrong spirit? That's what healing means to you. I can get better. And or do you want to go where Christ is? You want to go where the prophet is? I might not even go where the prophet is. He might come back where I am. Oh, things are getting closing in very rapidly. Hallelujah, they're closing in very rapidly. Have fear, he said, pulling them out of the fire. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Faultless? I mean faultless. Never against the word, always with the word, always taking sides with the word. And there only the word can judge me. Before there's a judgment, there's got to be a standard somewhere. And it's got to be such as not so ambiguous our lousy lawyers can twist everything our legislators pass. There's not one law that can't be twisted here in the earth. There's not one law of God that man hasn't disobeyed, but thank God. There was that famous son of God, our elder brother, that lived the life. And we accept the life that he lived. We've never lived it. We never will live it. You never live it here until you're changed. Can't do it. My brother Brand said, backslide 1,000 times a day, as it were. That's just a saying, of course. But it's still the truth. Guilty in one point of the law is guilty of all. Now, and he was able to keep from falling and present you faultless. I love that. Faultless, little bride, virgin bride, never even did it. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Who's going to be the happy one? We say, I'm going to be. No, Jesus is going to be happy too. The covenant fulfilled with God. To the only wise God, our Savior. To the only wise God, Jehovah. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This is what Paul adhered to. And he warned them in Acts 20. Don't get careless. Men will come in, they'll creep in. They're with you even now to pull you away. To pull you away. 2 Peter 2:1-3 is the ultimate in our illumination, which you have read here and read many times. As there were once prophets, there are now teachers. William Branham is gone. All the rest who thought they could do what he did and be vindicated, vindicate the Pentecostals, where are they? They got one guy, Benny Hinn. He believed in 9 gods at one time, but his bosses pulled him in and changed his mind. He was a Trinitarian Trinitarian. Yeah, he was 3 to the 2nd power. 3 times 3 is 9. Talk about a mess. I have a job serving 1 God. I don't know how they serve 3 or 9 of them. I mean, this is far beyond my intellect or my desire. And he blows on them, they touch them, they fall down. Wrong spirit entirely. Speak in tongues to everything else, wrong spirit entirely. Not that all power is not of God, but it is. But the devil's power is of God, and he prostitutes it. That's what prostitution is, using the right thing for a wrong end. For their own aggrandizement and so on. So, okay, I don't think I've got very many minutes left, have I? How many? 5? All right, I've got 5 minutes time. Now, when I read to you, on page 12, a verse I've paragraph I've already read, you can see how correct I am and what I've put in my preamble, which is the whole sermon. Now notice as they did, then as the Bible said, and John spoke to his children, said, little children, you have heard of the Antichrist, which was to come in the world, said, which already is in the world and is working in the children of disobedience. So all those that listen to the Pope, that listen to the elders, that listen to the presidents, that listen to the chairman of all these organizations are children of disobedience. They are tares, they are children of the devil. Now, I'm not saying this because I want to say it. I'm saying this because this is vindicated. I don't care what anybody says. Nothing else out there is vindicated. This is a treatise on the Word of God, of Matthew chapter 13 on the tares and wheat. This is it. Do what you want. But this is the truth. The children of disobedience. Now, that was along about 30 years after the coming of the Holy Ghost. We find when the Holy Ghost came, the real seed, the real life giver to the seed, then here comes that discrepancy in again, and notice, on it went. From Acts 20. Now, this is in the perfect plan of God. God said this is exactly what would happen. And it's happened. See? Now watch, the real word had been vindicated. Those prophets of old had vindicated the word to be the truth as they went down. Now, hold it. Is Brother Branham crossing himself out and being negative, and is he double-tongued at this point? He said there's only one major prophet. Only one can have the word. How can there be a lot of them then? Can't do it. This could be a little throw-off here in the Pentecostal, but I kind of doubt it. Because they believe they've got prophets and everything else if they have their false prophets. See? If anybody ever read the Nicaea Council, the pre-Nicaea Council, those 15 days of bloody politics when those bunch of Romans down there wanted to bring in and make a denomination out of that church, prophets came in wrapped in sheepskin eating herbs and stood for that word. What did it do? It had to be like Cain, it had to be like Abel, one to die. Certainly it did. And the word lost its influence among the people.
The word lost its influence. We're going to go into that later on, repeating it. And they all voted out the true word and took in dogmas and discrepancy of the early Catholic Church. They added a pope, they added a bishop, they added this, they added that and the other. And they took away the real true meaning of Peter and of Mary and all the rest of it, made idols and made nothing but a bunch of just a pagan discrepancy and organized for the, but a pagan ceremony out of so-called Christian religion. What was it? Seed of discrepancy, organized for the first time on earth, the church. What was it? The seed of discrepancy which started sowing, something adding to taking away. In other words, you'll notice, Brother Branham keep repeating a little song. It says that they let down the bars and the sheep got out. And they said, well, how do the sheep get out and the evil ones get in? He said, you let down the bars. He's just saying what I've said all through this 45 hour and a half on discrepancy is and disobedience. It was those who got careless, and the careless ones would not listen to the careful ones because they inclined toward the easy way of organization and thinking for a moment that if they got really something or other, they could really glorify God. Now, don't think that these people are not sincere. They are very sincere. The kind old priests are lovelier than you and I will ever be. As Brother Branham says, the Christian, the Christian scientists show more love than we do. You cannot contend with them on their terms. You and I are separate, the same as they separated themselves. And remember, the chaff pulls back from the wheat. So therefore, there's where organization came. The foolish virgin amongst them got careless. Discrepancies came in until the word was completely turned loose from the first century, where Paul told them, already you've got the seeds of what? Number one, another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. What do you got today? The full manifestation. But the bride, the little bride, does not become careless very long. No. No, not today she can't become careless. You're going to see those that become careless. I think myself they always were foolish virgin. But I cannot hold any truck and trade with those who made Brother Branham Jesus Christ. That's idolatry and Satanism. And there's as much Satan in this message as there was at the time when Moses came out of Egypt. And don't think there isn't. People are glad to believe anything, especially if there's a buck in it. Or a little healing or something. What will a man give in exchange for his life? We've got to stand like Job as never before. Well, that's enough time. We'll have to maybe get back with you. And there's no service this Wednesday. We've got communion coming up. And at the same time, I don't know if I'll be here at the time of Easter. And I was asked if we'd have a Good Friday service, which is actually communion weekend. It's possible I don't know. It's possible I don't know. I cannot tell because I simply do not know at this time. But anyway, we've got this far, and you've got some more illumination you didn't have before, I trust. So you understand, how did you, the bride, the church, get inundated? Neglect. Let's rise and be dismissed. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to part our ways now and perhaps go to the homes, go to whatever we're going to go to. And we ask the Lord to be with us so that wherever we rise or sit down, eat or drink, go forth or come back, whatever it is, we do in the name of the Lord, knowing we are fully with you because we're fully with your word. Help us, Lord, never to be careless and under any condition whatsoever, but always, Lord, giving way to your word, knowing that you stand behind your word, even if it is a matter of life and death, starvation, mutilation, whatever it is, famine, nakedness, peril or sword, killed all the day long like sheep for the slaughter, knowing, Lord, those things do not matter. Inculcate us once more in us, Lord, what we might call the traits or the markings, characteristics of the very life of Jesus Christ, who stood there knowing that the Father was in him. And we're standing here today knowing that you are with us, the same God. And therefore, you will lead us in and help us and strengthen us in our day. We recognize we are not that only begotten Son, but Lord, we do recognize we are sons, we are children. And He is our brother, the elder brother, the great one. And He is our high priest, interceding, mediating. And knowing this, that He is keeping covenant with you for us. And He's, and as His faith is primed to the extent even now, sitting on your throne just waiting for the final putting under His feet. How much more then are we blessed and in the knowledge of the reality of the power that keeps us and helps us and leads us day by day. Grant unto us that deep and wonderful revelation as never before, and we give you the praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to meet with our little board that has to do with Grace Gospel Ministry in just a few minutes, but in the meantime, we may sing, take the